present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. Well, once again, I'm going to ask our four clever panelists if they can talk for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And, of course, according to how well they do it, they will gain points or their opponents will. And let us begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, can you talk on the subject of idleness for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, to be idle is an ambition that most of us have thought of from time to time. I dare say it's more satisfying in the anticipation than it is in the realization.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Has he gone long enough for me to challenge on time to time?
Yes, he has. So you take a point, and the subject, of course, is now with you, and there are 46 seconds left on idleness, starting now.
Idleness and Edelweiss are two words that I always get mixed up, which is terribly embarrassing if you go to Switzerland and climb mountains like Mont Blanc looking for idleness, because you just can't find it. You move rocks, you shift glaciers, you sift snow, all to absolutely no...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's never shifted a glacier in his life. don't believe it.
I don't believe a person can shift a glacier, because glaciers are far too large for that. Don't look as if it's... you disbelieve me, Clement. I don't believe you.
Glacier mints?
I thought Mont Blanc was in France too, isn't it?
I don't know.
Nobody challenged you on it anyway, but I agree with Peter's challenge, so he takes the subject now, having gained a point for a correct challenge, of idleness with you, Peter. 60 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. 25 seconds, starting now.
I visualize myself lying in a hammock strung between two mimosa trees in the south of France.
Kenneth Williams has challenged you, why?
Well, apart from the fact that he fell about laughing in the middle of it, which is hesitation, of course. His speech became hesitant as he started laughing. So I would challenge on that, yes. I would challenge
it
on that.
It was after you rang the bell that he laughed.
Rang the bell? I haven't got one here. What do you call that, rang the bell?
Why did you laugh? The idea of the two mimosa trees.
Well, I didn't
be saying I'm sitting on the woolsack next.
Well, to tell you the truth, I thought some idiot would say that mimosa didn't grow on trees or something, and they are trees.
No, it's no good just limping on like that, dearie, face the fact that you...
What is your challenge? I don't know.
Hesitation, I've just said
no,
it.
No, he may have giggled, but he didn't hesitate. There are 17 seconds for you to continue, Peter, with idleness, starting now.
This is situated just outside Nice, not exactly on the beach.
Kenneth Williams has
challenged. Deviation, the subject is idleness, not this place situated near Nice.
All right, Kenneth, I agree with that. That's good enough. You have 4 seconds left on idleness, starting now.
As a great Roman writer once said, the idle is holy.
The audience were clapping because...
I won, didn't I? I won!
You haven't won yet. You've just come out top at the end of that round.
Oh, I won!
There's a long time to go yet, you know. We're only 2 or 3 minutes into the show. We can't make you the winner already.
Well, I've got to win 1 week. I'm always crawling out of here with my tail between my legs. Sneering. Oh, he never wins. Look at him, great fool. All out of shirt. Look at the marks.
I don't think they do. I think most of them come here just to see you.
No, I don't get any
marks. Very kind to you, because you did dry up completely when you were... thrown off balance. Peter Jones is in second place, Clement's in third, Sheila's yet to score, and Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject is the power of speech. Will you go for that on just a minute, starting now?
The power of speech is something which you can get without petroleum, gas, electricity, or any other means which is normally used to induce power. What is required is a tongue, preferably a set of teeth, a larynx, and the other attributes which oratologists and surgeons of ear, nose, and throat are such experts in perfecting. I once knew a nurse who went into a hospital and said to a man, "Will you prepare yourself for the operation?" And he said, "Certainly." And she cut his toenails, scrubbed his knees,
Peter Jones's challenge.
Deviation. Deviation. It's nothing to do with the power of speech.
Well, keep on cutting his toenails and scrubbing his knees. No, of course not. You were keeping going with great difficulty there. I think he rather helped you out there. Peter, you have a point, and you have 17 seconds on the power of speech starting now.
It's a really wonderful gift to be able to sway an entire audience with one's words, move them to great actions, and if you can, even make them weep with sadness as you describe some tragedy.
Jones was then speaking when the whistle went, which tells us, of course, that 60 seconds up. He gained the extra point for speaking at that moment, but he didn't have any effect on the audience with his power of speech, except they applauded when the whistle went. Kenneth Williams, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is reticence. Would you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Curiously enough, reticence has often led to incredible disclosures. Although this would appear paradoxical, it is a fact. Saint-Simon was one of the most reticent of all civilized beings at the court of Louis XIV. So he confided to a diary, and therefore we now know that the Duke of Vendôme received everyone in private audience on the chaise per se, which is quite nice. As a piece of intimate detail, you see, because it gives that little bit of colour to an otherwise reticent.
What happened? Sheila snorted. She was so carried away with the...
I thought it was the buzzer going.
She blew a raspberry, yes, but she blew it at Clement Freud, not you. Let's be fair, let's give him another chance, and we won't score any points.
You'll probably go on droning away about all those French people if you give it back to him.
Well, if you challenged him for deviation because he was off the subject of reticence, I would have given it to you, but you're too late now. He's got the subject still and he has 20 seconds starting now.
One of the most reticent... Oh, it's absolutely disgraceful. We're just being asked to make fools of ourselves, aren't we? I mean, I've come here with a learning and scholarship and all the arts and crafts at my command, and what am I done? I mean, what happens? I mean, I'm just making nonsense.
So, do you want to keep the subject?
No. He hesitated.
Clement, you have 18 seconds on reticence starting now.
To be truly reticent would be to listen to Kenneth Williams repeating himself, mentioning the names of kings of France over again, and not press your buzzer. But there are few of us who have this lovely quality at our commands, and therefore our fingers twitch, our ears...
Well, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, so he got the extra point, but he's still in second place behind our two equal leaders, Peter and Kenneth.
I'm sorry, that would have to be third place, wouldn't it?
No, you're in second place because they're equal in the lead. I will put it to the audience. If the other two are equal in the lead, is Clement Freud in second place or third place?
Third!
You rotten lot. Is he really in third place? Well, they better get another chairman. I mean, don't have people know the difference between second and third place. I think we're getting on with the game before I make a bigger fool of myself. Sheila Hancock, we'd like you to begin the next round because you're lovely. And the subject is having my hair done. Will you talk on that one for 60 seconds starting now?
Oh, it's painfully obvious looking at me that I don't do this very often because I loathe it so much. I go about once every 2 months to have a bit cut off so that it doesn't fall over my eyes and I can't see. I walk in the shop. The only aspect of it that I do quite like is reading the magazines because I'm too mean to buy them, so I look up all the back numbers when I go on my occasional visit. Then I have the gown put round my neck and I'm chatted up by a nice fella called Peter who tells me that I...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
She's just plugging this Peter. It's deviation. Nothing to
I
do
don't. There's nothing in the rules of the game.
He's giving him a plug. The new
It's not a very good
show.
Choking
me up. Put these gowns on her. What gowns? Peter, your hair done, not your dresses, mate. Gowns on her.
Peter Jones made a very good point. He said it's not a very good plug because she's always said she doesn't go there very often and her hair's a bit of a mess. But nothing personal, Peter, if
that's
you are listening.
It's the reverse of a plug, isn't it?
Yes, poor old Peter.
Unplug. It's a nail in the coffin, if you ask me. I wouldn't like to be in that hairdressing business. Poor man, you're taking the bread out of his mouth and his family, probably.
He's very good.
Giving
very
him all
good.
This bad publicity.
Yeah. Yes, poor old Peter, yes. Mm. He's got the same name as you, hasn't
exactly,
he?
Exactly, yes.
Is the other name Jones, by any chance? I disagree with the challenge, so you have a point, Sheila, and you keep the subject having my hair done, and there are 26 seconds left, starting now.
We then both gaze in the mirror at me, which is the aspect of it that I think I loathe most, and try and decide what we could do.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of loathe. She loathed going in the first
place.
Yes,
and she loathed looking at herself in the mirror.
Yes,
I can't understand why. We love looking at you in the mirror, and the audiences love looking at you on the stage, but it was a correct challenge, so Peter has the subject, and there are 18 seconds on having my hair done, Peter, starting now.
This is quite difficult because barbers have a habit of telling one funny jokes, particularly if they recognise you and think you are connected, even loosely as I am, with humour.
Kenneth Williams,
nothing
challenge.
To do with this deviation, nothing to do with getting your hair done. This is discussing characters of men, like, telling
barbers.
Jokes and
going to the barber.
For having the barber.
Oh, it's nothing to do with getting your hair done.
Well, listen, Kenneth, of a barber.
Kenneth, and say all the walls decorated with certain kind of wallpaper in the place where I have my hair done. Still not discussing having your hair done.
If a barber doesn't do your hair, I don't know what he does.
He wasn't talking about barbers.
Yes, he said.
A barber telling him endless jokes.
Yes, that's
not a word about
do.
The French Revolution, you notice.
Well, he's just not a very interesting barber, is he, dear?
Well, I haven't got on to the jokes.
Yeah.
But when you're having your hair done by...
I'll give you a trim and give you a bit of history as well.
I think you might trim him too far. Kenneth, I disagree with the challenge. Peter has a point. Having my hair done is still with you, Peter, and there are 7.5 seconds left, starting now.
The great thing is that they have a captive audience. One is sitting there in the chair with this towel wrapped tightly.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
They can't be... How can they have a captive audience? An audience is plural. You're just one in a chair, aren't you?
I'm an audience of one. You can have an audience of one. The Pope had the audience of one the other day.
You'd lied out of anything you would.
If you're challenging on deviation of audience of one, I disagree. If you challenge on the fact that he was talking about the audience
of one...
He's
only challenging because he doesn't want to creep out of here with his tail between his legs again.
Peter, you have another point and a half second only left on having my hair done, starting now.
Lovely. Oh.
Peter Jones, with some incorrect challenges, managed to move forward at the end of that round, and he now has a commanding lead over all the others. Kenneth Williams, The Romantic Revival. That is a subject that Ian Messett has thought of for you. And we are all imagining
he's
what
you're playing into his hands, you know.
I know he is, yes. The French Revolution and Julius Caesar and Aphrodite and Perseus and the Gorgons and now The Romantic Revival. 60 seconds starting now.
I suppose in England the names one would connect with it are Frederick Leighton, Holman Hunt, Kate Greenaway, perhaps, and the Pre-Raphaelites, generally, and the kind of works exemplified by drawings of William Morris. And a very interesting movement it was, because it did bring back a lot of what one might call aesthetic colour and loveliness into otherwise very drab lives. And there was a suggestion afoot by these people to dress the dustman more gaily. And... William Morris wanted to do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but Sheila Hancock challenged.
What's your challenge, dearie?
Well, you were so busy doing your double take that you hesitated.
Yes. Well, that's it. You see, you can't do it in just a minute. Having dressed the dustman gaily, he double-taked on the audience reaction he got, and he paused. So Sheila got in with a correct challenge, and there are 25 seconds left, Sheila. The Romantic Revival starting now.
Well, there is a bit of a romantic revival going on, I think, in the theatre at the moment. The trend seems to be going towards happy, jolly, pleasing shows, such as Showboat and With a Spice of Romance, Gone with the Wind.
Clement Freud challenge first.
Hesitation.
I would agree, Clement, and you have 8 seconds on The Romantic Revival starting now.
At the age of 60, it really is about time for the romantic revival to take place. And nightly, people look down.
The whistle went as Pyrmont got to that point, and he got an extra point for speaking when the whistle went. So he's 3 points behind our leader, who's still Peter Jones. And Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject is being on the rampage. Will you talk on that now for just 1 minute, starting now?
Well, I have been on the rampage on one occasion many years ago. It embarrasses me so much to talk about it that I think I will remain silent. What's the matter? I didn't hesitate.
No, you remained silent.
Yes.
And Clement Freud challenged you.
Hesitation.
And hesitation.
Well, it wasn't a hesitation. I just purposely remained silent.
You said, I am going to remain silent. There's nothing in this game says you can't.
No.
There is nothing in this game. Oh, I've dropped it.
Well, that's a very good point, isn't it? I'll tell you what, if you like, I will put it to the audience, because they're all the superior judges in this situation. I would say that...
Well, I don't know. We don't know what you think.
I'll tell you what I think. I think it was hesitation, because if you are silent...
Then you better put it to the audience. Well,
if it isn't, you've got no show, because we'll all just remain silent.
Exactly.
We?
Well, it's only occasionally, you know.
Clement Freud has a point, and there are 47 seconds on being on the rampage, Clement, starting now.
Being on the rampage is particularly important when you sneak out of this theatre with your tail between your legs, because it could be the only way to get back your pride, your self-satisfaction with life, and your general... Yeah.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was good he got the subject, wasn't it? Because you were able to get back and get an extra point. So, Peter, you have 32 and a half seconds on being on the rampage, starting now.
Yes, well, if the worst comes to the worst, perhaps...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition.
Yes, of the worst. 30 seconds now, Clement, being on the rampage, starting now.
Buy yourself a balloon and race down the Mall, singing merry songs, and then mount the pavement on the way to Hyde Park Corner, waving at Boadicea, who is there behind her coach, on the rampage as she was those 12, 14, 1600 years ago, depending which history books you read. And as you come down Park Lane...
Well, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, so he got the extra point. And Sheila Hancock, will you begin the next round? The subject, confessions. What a good subject for this particular show. We do hear a lot of very revealing things from our four panellists sometimes, don't we? Sheila, would you talk on that now for 60 seconds, starting now?
If there's one thing I dread in life, it's somebody saying to me, I have a confession to make. I would much rather not know. I think there are certain things that you must always keep to yourself and not embarrass other people with. The Catholic Church specialise in confessions. You have a little box and the priest goes in one half and the person goes in the other and tells all the things that they've done during the week and then comes out.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Because they only confess the bad things they've done.
Well, I've done all rotten things, so I'd have to say everything.
Well, actually, that's a very good challenge. I'm surprised the audience didn't clap. It's not all the things you've done. It is all the bad things you've done. 30 seconds now on confessions, starting now.
It was on Midsummer's Eve in the Boltons when a small girl was walking along, tagging behind her a bull terrier, whom I kicked viciously and with malice aforethought. She turned to me and said, did you do that on purpose, or is this some kind of a joke? And I admitted that it had been my full intention to land my foot against.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of foot.
Yes. You kicked it before. Yes, but no, actually, he kicked it before. It wasn't his foot. He didn't say
that.
Well,
he kicked it with his foot, didn't he?
His foot, but he didn't use the word foot, I'm afraid. You almost had me tripped.
I think you're actually going to get some letters this week.
That is in reference to the fact that Clement was complaining once he didn't get any letters. There are 6 seconds left on confessions, Clement, starting now.
When I sent my check to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, they replied, thank you very much.
Well,
that
Clement...
should start the mails.
That should start the mail. Well, Clement Freud's confessions have taken him into the lead over Peter Jones at the end of that round. Kenneth is very definitely in third place, and Sheila's in fourth, and Clement... No, Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject, lollipops. Would you talk about lollipops for just 1 minute, starting now?
These can be made at home if you have enough timber and sugar and water. You mix them all up, without the wood, I mean, and then you place them in a container with the little sticks upright, and in the fridge, this solidifies so that they can be...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Aren't you thinking of ice lollies? Do you have to put lollipops in the fridge, do you, Clement?
Well, aren't they the same thing? I thought they were.
No, lollipops.
Oh, I'm glad
frozen.
You said that, Peter, because you've helped me out of a problem. Because if you thought they were ice lollies, no, lollipops are different. They are sweets on a stick, as opposed to ices on a stick.
How old are you?
I see. Yes.
What about your children? Do they have lollipops or ice lollies, Peter?
Well,
you can't afford
no.
them, I suppose.
No, I mean, they don't... they have ice lollies, I think, occasionally, yes.
Oh, poor things. Sheila, I agree with your challenge, so you have the subject, and there are 37 seconds on lollipops, starting now.
These are an absolute menace. Terribly bad for children's teeth, and you should encourage them not to eat them.
Kenneth Mims has challenged.
Deviation. You can't encourage not. You must mean discourage. Obviously, the whole thing's a mess. You've
encourage
got all...
Encourage them not to eat them.
You can't
them.
Encourage not to eat. You, what you meant to say was you should discourage them eating them. That's
you
what
discourage
you meant.
Them from eating
so
them.
So I'm accusing you of devious grammar.
They all agree they would like to hear you talk on the subject of lollipops, but when you have to keep going in this game under the pressures that surround you, it is perfectly possible to use colloquial English, which is what Sheila was doing then. Encourage them not to do something.
I don't think he's right anyway. I shall look
it up. I don't think he's right. 30
home.
Seconds, Sheila, on lollipops starting now.
I thought you were going to give it
repetition
to
him. Repetition of O.
I thought he was going to
Oh, she wasn't ready
no.
for it. Give Clement Freud a... No, don't. Give it back to Sheila.
Oh,
Hancock.
No, don't. Give All it right. to him. Go on. I don't want you to kowtow to me.
Well, give it to Kenneth Williams then, because he's trailing still.
Yes.
Kenneth, you have 29 seconds on lollipops. Starting now.
Well, they're suckable, and as such, provide an enormous amount of comfort for people that derive that extra salivation from your wee sweetie. And I love them. If I can't get Mystic of Rock, I'm after the lollipop.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you deviated.
On the Stick of Rock.
Stick of Rock.
He said he was going to say
if
he can't
I can't,
the stick of rock.
I will
yes,
have,
he
yes.
He will have something else. So he has a point for a wrong challenge, and there are 9 seconds on lollipops, Kenneth, starting now.
And the dreadful thing when you're getting to the end and the wee bit of wood.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Wee wee. I mean a second.
Yes, you had too much wee in that. Sorry, Kenneth. Clement had a correct challenge. 4 seconds on lollipops, Clement, starting now.
This is a low-class sweetmeat available at all good confectioners.
So Clement Freud was then speaking on the whistle. He gained the extra point. He's increased his lead. He's on the magical number of 13. I say magical because I think it's good luck. A lot of people think it's bad luck. Oh, I've just got a message from our producer. You were going to begin the next round, Kenneth, but I've been told, alas, we have no more time to play just a minute. Isn't that sad? Ah. You don't seem very sad about it, anyways, Matt. Well, we're very sad because we enjoy playing Just a Minute, and we do hope you've enjoyed listening to the game. I've almost given you the final score. Sheila Hancock was in fourth place. Kenneth was only just in third place behind Peter Jones, who was behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.